This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 8/16/21, show number 311. Well, we're going to do this a little bit differently. If you listen to the daily market wisdom with myself and Nick Santiago, generally it's just a market review, but I feel that after the weekend's events, also, what's going on with the markets, the beatdown of gold, so many other crazy things going on in the market, the fact that the indices just keep going higher and higher, it's time to delve in deeper with Nick, get his feelings, his views on what exactly is going on in the economy. And so we got Nick Santiago here. You know him well, master trader. He's been beating the market averages for decades now. And Nick, so I figured we deviate a little bit from the tried and true formula that we've been doing for the past almost 2 years, but we should just go through our points initially. So we had the fall of Kabul, of Afghanistan, taken over by the Taliban. We spent 20 years there, and $2.2 trillion was the latest I heard. We spent tens of billions of dollars training these Afghani troops, and they folded like a cheap lawn chair. What's the impact of this?
Well, you know, the impact isn't really all that much on the stock market right now, but what it does do, because it doesn't affect the markets directly, because they're really more programmed to just worry about what the Federal Reserve is doing. And obviously their current QE program is $120 billion a month, where they're buying U.S. treasuries. They're also buying mortgage-backed securities. But what this Afghanistan news does, it makes traders and investors question their confidence in the current administration. Just think about it. This administration came into power in January, and the first thing they did was cut the Keystone Pipeline. They stopped drilling on federal lands. They're now asking OPEC to pump more oil. So there's a lot of confidence in this administration that people said in the beginning, oh, maybe they're onto something. There's no confidence in this administration. And whenever you have an administration, it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, and traders and investors start to wonder if there's something more to it. That's never ever a good thing. I don't think it affects the markets too much today or this week, but I think going forward, I think it could have a very, very big effect. And, you know, as we all know, the central banks are starting to talk about tapering their quantitative easing program. I just can't see them doing it with what's going on here in the current administration. So the sentiment changes, and then people's psychology changes. And this happens for institutions too. So I think it is definitely a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, anything that undermines confidence in the government is going to find its way to the market eventually, isn't it?
It does. It does find its way to the market eventually. And, you know, back in the day before all of this money printing used to take place, whenever a president's approval rating would drop, so would the market. It wouldn't happen to the day, but it would happen generally a few weeks later. And now we're starting to, maybe we'll go back to that. But since the money printing by the central banks has really taken control, we really haven't seen it. But this is a pretty big event. This is being talked about everywhere by every news outlet. And, you know, I think most of the news is phony, but, you know, they have no choice but to really talk about this now.
Yeah, they can't avoid it. And I guess it was inevitable from the start. You know, we could argue history, whatever. Maybe we should have just gone in there, routed out Al-Qaeda, and then just left. That would have been the logical thing to do. And we could have gotten out a lot cheaper, a lot less people lost. I mean, 2,000 of our servicemen died there, 20,000 injuries, and just horrible, horrible, war is hell. And, you know, those people have been fighting for thousands of years. When we first went in, I said, Napoleon couldn't do it. The English, maybe it wasn't Napoleon, the British couldn't do it. Russia couldn't do it. Everyone that ever tried to invade Afghanistan was eventually repulsed and left with their tail between their legs. How are we going to do differently here? and we were supporting corrupt regimes that main concern was the opium crop. So maybe we'll see the opium trade greatly diminished now that the Taliban are back, because that was the one thing they wouldn't put up with.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, the funny thing is that it's nothing to laugh at. I shouldn't even say funny, but the terrible part is it's 20 years wasted. Somebody got rich off of it. It wasn't me. And I'll tell you that people are now, you know, a little bit fed up when you think about this, that this is going on for so long and the amount of money spent is just enormous. So I definitely don't think this story can go away that quickly. And yes, it will affect the markets, I think, shortly down the road. I don't think it'll have an effect today because, you know, central banks are printing a ton, but I definitely believe it will have an effect shortly.
All right. So options expiration is Friday.
That's right. We have options expiration this coming Friday. That will be the 20th of August. And as you all know by now, this is a week of institutional game playing. It's also a week where you're going to hear lots of rumors. You're going to get a lot of geopolitical events. We already see that. And then you'll get lots of ridiculous upgrades and downgrades. I always tell traders this week that you want to expect the unexpected, especially in a lot of the popular stocks. So if you have a stock, say, and we're just going to pick on this one for argument's sake, say Tesla. Tesla was up, you know, on Friday and it was rallying up. You know, these are stocks that are up are vulnerable to decline. Stocks that are down are likely to see bounces. This is a week of institutional game playing. So just be aware of that.
All right. Yeah, institutional game playing. The games never end on Wall Street, do they?
They never end. And I always like to tell people this is the real shark week. So be a little bit cautious, be a little bit careful out there. You know, even though you may have a stock that's in a very, very good trend, if it is up and it's been up sharply lately, it's vulnerable to a pullback and it could be a sharp one at that.
Right. Hey, so I wanted to talk to you about gold and silver. They seemed like they were in really good positions. Their charts were really good. And then came options X, quadruple witching order, hour rather, in June. And they just got slammed and they haven't been able to recover.
No, they haven't. They got hammered during that June options expiration. And I said back then, I said, this is not your ordinary sell-off. The sell-off was very, very strong. And it occurred on heavy, heavy volume, which tells me somebody was dumping with authority there. So, you know, they've had a good little bounce back, but I think that's all it's going to be. I did some work on gold over the weekend. I think gold could get back to around 1840, 1845 on gold futures. Right now, we're trading today as we speak, gold sitting at around 1787. So there's potentially a little bit more upside. But what we call this pattern will most likely be a zigzag up. But there's been a lot of selling pressure in gold recently, and you gotta respect that. Another thing I always talk about, and we've spoke about it on our show, is that the gold miners were not leading the price of the metal. And
that's what happens when the metal leads the shares, for sure. Hey, and no show would be complete without a look at the crypto markets.
Yeah, so crypto has been, you know, somewhat defended lately, and you know, it's been a very, very good move for the crypto stocks. Today, when you look at the cryptos, they're up just a slight bit. It's really more flat than anything. But we have a big resistance level. The Bitcoin has bounced 50%, and anytime something falls from grace, it can get a 50% retrace. So I tell traders, be really careful here. This is a nice retrace. You're going to need to see more of a pattern develop. Then cryptos could go higher. But right now, when you get an initial drop from 65,000 to sub 30,000, a natural retrace brings you back to 45, 46,000. So be aware of that and be a little bit careful with your cryptos here at this point in time.
Yeah, well, one thing I will tell you I've noticed is my little crypto portfolio, it's kind of a meaningless thing, but I kind of auto invest in it just to see what'll happen. Not putting a boatload of money into this by any stretch, not at this point, is actually in the black substantially, because Ethereum is my main holding. Ethereum has taken a nice ride. It was down to 2,000. I was buying there all the way up till yesterday I bought, because like I said, I'm on auto purchase on the 1st and 15th of the month. And and it's had a nice little bump.
It's had a great bump. I mean, you have to look at it. It's back above, 3,200, sitting, I think, today at around 3,221. I don't chart this one because they don't have futures for it. But what I will say is this also has had a great retrace. So, again, when you get those retraces after a big, big sell-off, you definitely want to be a little bit careful up here.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense. And it could easily get slammed because everybody is telling us now, I look at the notes, you're a great contrarian indicator. That's what they're saying. When you start talking about Bitcoin, we do the opposite. Well, just be prepared because it's definitely close to resistance. But then again, we don't understand cryptos, so what do we know? But looking at the broader markets there, Nick, and the economy, this money printing experiment, when we saw them doing all the stimulus and everything else during the pandemic, we both said there's going to be inflation. And all the experts said, no, there's not going to be any inflation. And here we are, we're going at like 5 or 6% reported inflation. The real rate's probably substantially higher.
Yeah, it's much, much higher. And, funny thing is, if all you had to do back then was look at the commodities, we had that big sell-off in March 2020. I was a buyer of copper. I was a buyer of gold. I mean, these things didn't make moves. They made lifetime moves. So, again, if you watch the chart and you look at what things are doing on the charts, you'll see, that inflation is here. Inflation's not only here, but it's here to stay. It's not going away. It'll go down a little bit. Some things will retrace. Nothing goes up in a straight line. That's what we say as chartists. But, inflation's here for a while. And the real catalyst is the lockdowns. When you stop production of things, that's it. You've created it. And right now we'll see, the charts do some more backing and filling because many things went parabolic, including gold in August of 2020. So, copper went parabolic. Crude had a tremendous move. Aluminum, lumber, we could talk about all of those things. But there's inflation and it's not going back down to, where it was. These things are going to stay elevated for quite some time. If you get another lockdown, you'll even create more of it. Currency of the US dollar. But in the short run, I think the dollar is going to be viable for a few more years and, we'll try to enjoy it while we can.
Yeah. And that all ties into cryptocurrencies. It's always been my belief, I don't care how much adoption there is by Wall Street, DeFi and all that stuff, that eventually the government would have to stop.
And, recently we got the politicians all buying crypto, and now we're going to get a more favorable tax ruling on crypto. So, the market's actually like that, and that's been the catalyst. And then you got a lot of the talking heads, whether it's Elon Musk or Jack Dorsey or anybody else, allowing that. Now, will they create their own current digital currency? I think that's coming, and I think we'll probably see it first in the European Union.
Yeah, so you said that the portion or the area of most concern is Europe and their banks and the euro.
Yeah, Europe's an absolute disaster. So if you just look at, say, a company like Deutsche Bank, and anybody could pull this chart up, DB, stock topped out in May, and now it's gotten a little bit of a bounce, but that's it. It's topped out. I don't really see this thing going higher right now, and I'm just picking on Deutsche Bank, but you could use any European bank, Credit Suisse, any of these other European banks. But this is a problem chart, and that's what all I could say is when I see charts like this, I know that as soon as this stops getting propped up, it's going to go down again. And a lot of people don't realize, but in 2020, Deutsche Bank was a $5 stock. Now we're at $12.68. It went above $15 in the month of May. But for the most part, it looks like it's topped out to me. It's not going to go straight down. Could it go a little higher from here? Sure. But this is telling me there's a problem in the European system. And I would be very, very careful owning European banks.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. They've always said that Europe is the weakest link in the chain. So
I think that is the truth. And, again, they've killed their bond market by going into negative rates. And that's all that really comes down to. It's not that simple. You just got to watch, what actions the central banks have taken. And, nobody's going to really want to own a European financial company.
Who wants to buy shares in the SS Titanic, right?
Pretty much. That's a good way to put it. But that's really, really what's coming.
All right. So I hope these insights have been helpful. and will help you with your investment strategy and your outlook for the coming year and years ahead. And if you want to find out how Nick has been beating the average for all these decades, just go over to inthemoneystocks.com and sign up there. Watch the Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, and at Kerry Lutz, and send us your emails to kl@kerrylutz.com. Nick, we will talk to you on Wednesday.
Sounds good, Kerry.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.